You're listening to the Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week, brought to you by...
Your company name here.
That's right. You could be a proud sponsor of the Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week or our flagship show, the Two-Headed Nerd Comic Book Podcast. If you're interested in supporting either of our very high-quality shows, just shoot us an email with the subject line, sponsorship, to twoheadednerd@gmail.com. We'll get right back to you. Lord knows, we're desperate for cash.
Hey, listen, nerds. You're listening to the Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
Welcome back to the most controversial show on the internet, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week.
Can you back that up?
Oh, yeah, man.
Can you back up that statement?
People freak out every week when we do this show. They go nuts. They tear their hair out, threaten suicide. It's crazy. Yeah, man.
Yikes.
This little show right here is where we play your answers to our question of the week. My man Joe Patrick puts it up every Friday on our Two-Headed Nerd forums. They are the coolest place on the internet. This is the hyperbole show, if you haven't noticed. Joe Patrick, before we get onto it, I need you to tell these kids what we asked them this week. Or tell me, because I already forgot.
This week's question...
You know I don't pay attention to this stuff.
Boy.
I'm a busy guy.
This week's question, what canceled comic do you think was stricken down before its time?
Stricken down. I like that.
Struck down?
Struck down.
Stricken down?
Struck down before its time. Our first call comes from our buddy Jason Sachs. Jason, tell the kids what you think got canceled way too early.
Hey guys, Jason Sachs here at Jason Sachs on the Twitter. Just wanted to call you with my choices for books that are gone too soon. I'm very tempted to go old school with a comic that obsessed me since I was a child, which is Omega the Unknown, a 1970s series from Marvel that only ran 10 issues and ended in an unforgettable cliffhanger. But I'm not going to choose that. Okay, hedging my bets. What a jerk thing to do. Anyway.
This guy's taking a page out of the Joe Patrick playbook here.
First is Next Wave, Agents of Hate by Warren Ellis and Stuart Immonen. What a fantastic series. It was fun, uninhibited, exciting, with hysterical lead characters, wonderful plot lines, and of course, Bing Bang Boom in a swimsuit. It was one of my favorite books, loved to read it every month. And then, unfortunately, because Ellis and Immonen were so busy, they were only able to produce 12 issues. Those 12 issues, though, are wonderful. They stand up so well, even though the book was produced about 7 years ago now. It still reads incredibly well. The characters are vivid and exciting and wonderful. And, you know, we just need more silliness in comics. So that's my answer. Thanks, guys. Catch you later. Bye.
Jason Sachs with an excellent choice. We both loved that book.
Yeah. Next Wave was a sad case because it wasn't canceled because they wanted it to, because it didn't deserve to live.
No, it was just they were too busy.
It was the real reason announced at the time was that Stuart Immonen got the job taking over for Mark Bagley on Ultimate Spider-Man.
And Warren Ellis hated you.
And that's not a job you pass up, and they weren't interested in producing Next Wave without each other.
Which is cool.
So they shelved it, and I respect that. Immonen moving on to Ultimate Spider-Man gave us, you know, his skyrocket to stardom.
Right.
But
and he's just gotten better since then, and we all love him.
Yeah. So, I mean, imagine now if the stars aligned and Next Wave were to come back. That would be pretty cool.
Oh, I would love it.
Yeah. Next Wave's still out there. You can get it. It's collected in one nice trade, complete. It used to be split into two. Now it's one. One sexy volume. Go get it.
Totally worth a read.
Get you some.
Moving right along. The Amazing Spider-Brad calling in again. I think he's just like slumming on the phone line.
He's right slipping. Now. He says he's slipping.
Yo, Two-Headed Nerd, this is the Amazing Spider-Brad calling in 2 weeks in a row. I'm not giving up on the MP3 crew. I'm just dealing with all the fallback of getting hit by a drunk driver last week, which is taking up my entire Tuesday of running errands and dealing with insurance and all that stuff. So, here we are. Question of the week, what series I was into too soon. My answer, simply put, the Immortal Iron Fist, originally with Ed Brubaker, Matt Fraction, and Dave Aja. I freaking loved it. I bought all of it. I actually kind of came in about halfway. Saw the series at Planet Comic Con in Kansas City, and I just bought all of it. I just bought everything, and then, you know, just had a few issues left, and then it ended, and it destroyed my life. I know people weren't super stoked that Brubaker left, and and things were not as good. But, I mean, every comic book kind of has a little few issues of a lull, and I think that they could have stuck it out just a little bit longer, because I thought it was a great series. Introduced the backstory of the Iron Fist, showed all this awesome stuff in Kyung Lun. Honestly, if I did not have a tattoo on my chest already, I would have the Dragon of Kyung Lun tattooed on me right now.
Thought about that myself.
That's how much I love Iron Fist. That's how much I love that series. Hopefully there's new stuff. I thought I heard Marvel's, you know, having a new Iron Fist coming soon. I would love to have a, you know, callback to the old Heroes for Hire series going on. Something. I love Iron Fist. And, back when it was the whole Secret Avengers, Rogue Age thing where, oh, he's got a white suit now. I don't know. I wasn't super thrilled with that. Anyway, guys, Mortal Iron Fist. That's my answer for a series that didn't last long enough. And I hope you guys have a good one. I just couldn't go a week without participating in the answer of the week. So, sorry, no MP3, but I'll get you guys next week with something fantastic. Have a good one, guys. Spider Brad out.
Brad, we love you. Glad you're okay. And it sounds like they didn't mess up that pretty little face of yours. So, that's a good
that's
thing.
That's right. I've seen
that's
him.
A good thing.
I've However, seen him. He's doing good.
I disagree with you on two counts. One, when Ed Brubaker left Iron Fist, it stayed great. Dwayne Swierczynski was writing it, and it was still awesome.
Well, it's Brubaker left, and Fraction wrote it solo for a while.
That's
and
right.
And then Fraction left, and Swierczynski took over.
It was still
and
great.
No, but it's true, but I don't think that's what he's saying. I think what he's saying is that maybe some people jumped ship.
Yeah, they did.
When they should have stuck around, and that's probably what led to Iron Fist's untimely demise.
Could be. Second point, I like the white suit.
I'm not digging the white suit.
I kind of like it. I think it's
cool. I mean, it was fine for a while, but it's like, put me back. Get me the green suit back. I need the high collar.
I kind of like the high collar, too. I admit it.
Come on, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, the lovely and fair Princess Ashley. Let's see what she had to say.
Hi, Joe and Matt. It is Princess Ashley calling with my answer to your question of the week. I'm going to go right ahead and say that I think the New 52 Nightwing is canceled too early, and it's a travesty that that book is not going to live long enough to have a better writer than Kyle Higgins on it. Like, for example, I don't know, Sterling Gates, because he's not writing Vibe right now. So, yeah, little butthurt about that. Little butthurt that he's probably going to die. Crossing my fingers that he just gets sent to somewhere else to mention. But, yeah, New 52 Nightwing, because with Kyle Higgins, it never had a chance. So, see you guys. Love you.
Oh. Okay.
Listen, I love the Kyle Higgins Nightwing.
I like it, too, and I don't think they're going to kill him. I don't think they're going to kill him.
I don't think they're going to kill him either. No. I think it's too simple. I think something's going to happen. Yeah. He's going to go through some sort of life change.
He's going to go into hiding or something.
He's going to dye his hair blonde.
Or Jean-Paul Valley's going to take his job
it's
for a little
bit. It's not going to be Jean-Paul Valley, you yes! lunatic.
Yes, Azrael.
Thanks, Princess Ashley.
I love Azrael. Oh, but I don't think they're going to kill him. Rest assured, he's going to be around. And I'm sorry you don't like the Kyle Higgins one as much. I think it's pretty damn good.
Here's my prediction. It's not that Nightwing is canceled per se. Nightwing is canceled. But my theory is that following Forever Evil, he will adopt a new heroic identity.
Something along those lines.
So he will probably get a new book with a new code name or whatever.
Yeah. So don't maybe, fret.
Maybe he'll be the new Azrael.
What? I hate that. No. I hate what? It. No. Randy what? Andrews called us from his smoking room where he's just finishing up. Something brilliant that he's writing. Let's see what he had to say.
Greetings, Joe and Matt. This is Randy Andrews with the answer to the question of the week. I have to say, Gen 13. Now, here's my reasoning. Gen 13 was a massive, super cool, genetic altering for these teenagers. They had these special powers. They even got to go to outer space. I mean, it would have been so awesome for that title to carry it even further, like out into space, have them journey even further out into space, taken away from the Earth. And it would have been so much cooler for them to just keep going. But no, they decided to end the title and didn't continue it. I'm a little depressed over it. But
Randy,
the writing was great.
It's a long time ago, buddy.
The artistry was fantastic with J. Scott Campbell. Of course, he's doing other things now. He's doing a lot better things. But just to be telling you, it was great. So I'll let you go for tonight. And hope you like this answer. because that's what I thought of. Have a good night, guys.
Thank you, Randy. You have a good night too, buddy. Gen 13. And he's right. J. Scott Campbell got a start there.
I like Gen 13.
It was fine.
It was fine. It did last like 80 issues.
Yeah. So, I think you went a little too long, maybe.
I even like what came after J. Scott Campbell left. Gail Simone wrote it after it's been rebooted once or twice. Adam Warren wrote and drew it for a while. John Arcudi wrote it for a bit.
Ton of really talented guys worked on that series.
Gary Frank drew it for a while.
Yeah.
Like I liked Gen 13 just fine. It did have a long, healthy run.
It definitely had a very long and healthy
run. But hey, he misses it.
That's fine.
He wants it back.
I get it.
I'm here to tell you, Randy, you would not want it back now.
Nope.
You would not want DC to give you the further adventures of Gen 13.
Because it'll be completely unrecognizable.
It won't be anything like what you remember.
Much like what they did to my Stormwatch. Moving right along.
And his grifter.
And my
grifter. And his voodoo.
Just stop. Can we stop doing this? I just got done yelling about it. Stephen Fino, THN's Master of Coin, writing in to tell us what he misses. Writing in. Calling
in. Hello, this is Lord Stephen responding to the question in of week in regards to titles that were canceled before their time. There are obviously a ton of great series that I really miss. I mean, just this past year, we've had Scarlet Spider, Young Avengers, Dial H, tons of good books canceled. But thinking about it, the book that I miss the most in recent years is Brian Q. Miller's Batgirl series starring Stephanie Brown. Stephanie Brown is not a character that I ever really cared about much up to that point. I didn't dislike her, but she's just never a character that I was interested in. I wouldn't go out of my way to read a book if she was in it, and she didn't do anything for me. So when I heard that Cass was going to retire from the Bat family with their death Bruce, and that Steph would be her replacement, I can't say I was excited by the prospect. I also had never heard of Brian Q. Miller before, and when I found out that he was one of the writers on Smallville, I can't say I had high expectations for things. So I picked up the series on a whim, and I'm really glad that I did. The series was a great read, and I loved pretty much every issue. The way Stephanie Brown was written in the series had been her most likable that she had ever been, and I just loved picking up her book every month. The thing I like the most about it is that it was a lighthearted book. A lighthearted Bat book is something that just doesn't exist anymore. And while I wouldn't go as far as to say that I hate the current Batgirl series, it just completely pales in comparison to what we had right before the reboot. So yeah, Brian Miller's Batgirl series had a great run, and it's the series I miss the most these days. Bye.
Lord Steven, you are not the only one. People lost their mind when that series got canceled. And it got saved from cancellation by the fans twice, as I recall. Like, they said they were going to cancel it, and DC was inundated with mail and emails of people screaming about it and saved Stephanie Brown a couple times. And you're right. The new Batgirl series, certainly not doing it for me. It's not making me love Barbara Gordon as a Bat character.
I love that Batgirl series. I really did.
It was great.
And I was a huge fan of the Cassandra Cain Batgirl, and I was very upset with how DC treated her.
Yeah, me too.
After the original creators left the title, her book limped on, and it became a pale shade of what it had become. It became quirky, fun, romance-y kind of thing.
Yeah, it didn't work, especially not the way they developed that character.
And then Cassandra just kind of went away, and when they relaunched Stephanie as Batgirl, I was happy to have Stephanie back. I was always kind of mad that she had been killed off. I thought that series was great, great fun. I'm sure we even reviewed it a couple times.
Oh, definitely.
In our early days.
I'm sure we did.
And it was a shame for that book to get lost, and a shame that that character was kind of flushed away.
Is she around? Is she back?
She's being reintroduced in Batman Eternal.
Okay. She showed
up? It won't be...
Didn't she show up in the Smallville season 11 or something like that too?
No. Brian Q. Miller writes that book. He wanted her to be Robin.
That's right. I remember now.
And DC was like, nope, it's Barbara.
Yeah.
You got to make it Barbara.
Stupid.
Lame, yeah. Or I think she was going to be, I think it was Nightwing. It was Batman and Nightwing, not Batman and Robin or something.
We can only
like
keep track of one female Bat character at a time, though.
Right. I mean, obviously we're idiots.
Yeah. I know all the dudes, sure.
Steven, great answer, as always.
Sean X. Sending us an MP3 so we can hear the fidelity of his beautiful singing voice. Let's see what they're missing over in Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Hello, two-headed nerd, Shonix, emailing in with my answer to the question of the week. And this week's question, it feels like a repeat to me, or maybe it's just a repeated answer. You might get some emails, hate mails, talking about a listener that can't shut up. OMG, shut up. But this question is about series that were canceled too soon. What can I say? Wildcats 3.0, I miss you. I want you back. You opened the door to a lot of comics that I read now, ones that I would never have gave a second look to, because Wildcats 3.0 by Joe Casey and Dustin Nguyen was not your regular Wildcats book. It dealt with big business. It dealt with Spartan, the Cyclops-looking guy from the original, you know, old-school Volume 1 style-y. You know, he's running Halo, Imps Corporation, and he's got Void as a suit, and it allows him to teleport and use power. It's a power source, and he uses that power source to create batteries that never die and cars that run on those batteries. And the U.S. government is having a problem with that because they see money going away and revenue going away. And, you know, this is a company that, you know, is being ran by these aliens, and they use Cole Cash as a guy, as the grifter, and he kind of cleans up messes, and he has to sit on the sidelines, literally, and Edwin Dolby comes in and kind of becomes this new grifter and has to deal with that. And you have Agent Wax, who's just a great character in itself, in himself, I mean. Man, it was just a brilliant series to me, and I loved every minute of it. Dustin Nguyen on art was fantastic. I own a piece of it, a page of it. Fantastic. And, yeah, year one, year two is in trade now. Check them out. Highly recommend it. Miss that series. Oh, man, I'm rambling. OMG, shut up, right? Thanks. Peace.
What's with all this OMG crap?
OMG.
But he's totally right. It was far and away the best Wildcats series that was ever written. And that means something, because Alan Moore wrote a run on Wildcats World that was also great. I'm saying Joe Casey's was better.
But those are so far apart. From practically different books.
I agree, but they were both great. Man, I loved Wildcats 3.0.
I did too.
It was so much fun.
I did too.
And finally, we don't always need Andrea Shockley to have a good time. Sometimes all you need is Aaron Myers. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Aaron Myers.
Hey guys, this is Aaron Myers of the Comics Therapy Podcast, which I do with my co-host Andrea Shockling. I got sick at the Comic-Con this weekend, so I can't call in, but I have my AI doing the work for me this week. So to answer your question about comics canceled before their time, two come to mind for me. Thor the Mighty Avenger and Glory. There are lots I could list, but both of those series, especially Glory, I loved, and they got cut short before their time. Too beautiful to live. Anyway, hopefully you'll be back with my beautiful voice next week. Talk to you later.
I don't know. I wish the AI would call us every week.
That was pretty great.
I'm a big fan of the type to voice technology. I love it.
Yeah.
If you listen to our other show, you might hear it quite a bit. So Thor the Mighty Avenger, that was Chris Samnee, right?
Thor the Mighty Avenger was Roger Langridge on writing and Chris Samnee on the art.
Yeah, that was great.
It was great.
It was really, really good. Glory.
It always drove me crazy that Samnee drew Thor's hammer so small.
It was kind of little, wasn't it?
It's like a little hammer.
I didn't mind it, though. I mean, I love Chris Samnee.
Whatever. I love him, too.
And Glory, that would have been Joe Keating
and Ross Campbell.
I didn't know that that got canceled. I thought it just sort of ended.
You know, I don't really know.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was canceled on purpose or if it ended on purpose.
Yeah, Keating just got tired, because he's got a lot of stuff coming up, and I get it. But I did like Glory as well. It was the first time I've ever cared about that character. And the way that it was drawn by Ross Campbell was just amazing. It was like the beefiest Wonder Woman you could possibly think of. It's like if Wonder Woman and He-Man had a child and it had both sets of genitalia, maybe.
Beefy.
Joe Patrick, you've read 100 million comic series.
It's true.
In your life. And a lot of them were canceled. Which one upset you the most?
This is a tough question because I have a terrible memory. But two that really stick out to me, and I know that I've talked about one of them on the show a lot. One is Our Man,
Tom Payer's Our Man.
Yeah. From DC, drawn by Rags Morales. It was a story about the Our Man character from DC 1 Million and the Justice League. He's not the JLA mascot, but at one time he was the JLA mascot, Snapper Carr. Convinces Our Man to get rid of his godlike power so that he can learn what it means to be a human. And so he spends the next 24 issues bumbling around trying to learn what it means to be a human and a superhero. And it's such a great, heartfelt story of this very naive character and his struggle to understand. He does get into some action situations. He does fight supervillains, but it's all through the lens of this learning experience. It's never just a straight action book. There's much more to it. The art by Rex Morales, of course, beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
And that book limped to issue 24. Luckily, they were able to kind of wrap it up, but I would have loved for that book to continue. Another one that I don't think gets nearly enough attention was Hero by Will Pfeiffer, also from DC.
Oh, yeah.
It was a modern take on the Dial H Hero.
That was a really fun one.
And it was less weird than the most recent Dial H. It was still in the superhero vein, and it was set in the DC universe. But it had a rotating cast because the dial kept getting passed on. It kept changing hands, and it was drawn by Kano for a bit, and it was drawn by D.L. Eaglesham for a bit.
It was a super clever anthology book in the sense that there was this
was still a connecting plot. Yeah,
there wasn't an overlying story, but it was very much an anthology book because you got a very different story each time, right, depending on who picked up the dial.
Right.
It was so cool.
Yeah, like sometimes it's a superhero story, sometimes it's a comedy story, sometimes it's a like an EC kind of ironic punishment kind of story. But the ultimate plot was revealed that a serial killer found the dial.
Yeah.
This was a broken, crazy murderer. Yeah. And used it to... Oh, and he lucked out. Like, the thing was that you could never predict what powers you were going to get.
Right.
And he hit the jackpot. He became almost like a god.
Like, straight up Superman.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And so he had the power to murder on a massive scale, and it was up to the people that had the dial before him to piece together what happened and to learn how to stop him. Such a good, good series. And it could have gone on a long time. And it ended right around issue 24.
Yeah.
It lasted about 2 years.
Where's Will Pfeiffer now?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm not either.
He disappeared from comics for a while. I feel like I saw his name pop up again, but...
You look up Will Pfeiffer and I'll give my answer.
Okay.
All right. Both of mine come from Mark Waid, one of my favorite people in the whole world, one of my favorite writers. The first one, I'm going to go in order. Back in 1997, Mark Waid and Andy Kubert gave us the best Kazar series,
yes,
ever written. It was so fantastic.
He left the book, though. That book didn't get canceled until after he left.
Well, he was there for 14 issues. He ended with Revolution. Christopher Priest took it over, but it only lasted like 6 more issues. Yeah. And it was still really, really good. It was such a fun book. And I love Kazar. And he's had like no play in the Marvel Universe since then. He's popped up here and
there. Very little, very little.
But we never see him. I love Kazar. Second, back in 2001, we had a little thing called Cross Gen Comics, and Mark Waid was writing Ruse. And Ruse was so cool. I mean, it was Sherlock Holmes, but it wasn't Sherlock Holmes. And his Watson was a woman. And it was such a beautiful book to read and look at. It was Butch Geis was drawing at the time. The art team of Butch Geis and Mike Perkins on inks made this excellent period piece that kind of barely fit into the cross-gen bigger story, but
all the books were wildly different, but they all tied together somehow.
It was such a fun book. It only lasted 12 issues, and it disappeared and came back briefly a couple years ago.
From Marvel.
It wasn't as great. It was Mark Waid and Mirko Pierfederici.
Oh, yeah. It was not drawn by Butch Geis.
That's correct.
But the art was a similar
type. It was similar, and he's also very good, but it wasn't the same. Dudes and lady dudes, there's so many canceled series out there. Thank you for taking some time to think about the ones that you think got canceled too early. We love your calls. We love your MP3s. We love to hear from you guys. Of course, we will have another Question of the Week up this Friday, and we'll be back with a new Two-Headed Nerd comic cast this weekend. I know we're having some issues with iTunes. All I can tell you is we have done everything that we can on our end, and it has to be a problem on their side. We apologize. Trust me, it's hurting us way worse than it hurts you guys. Send us your thoughts, send us your hopes and prayers, whatever you got. We'll take it.
You know how to find the show. If you're hearing this message, you've already got it.
That's right. If you can hear this, you can still tell other people.
It's not that dire. iTunes isn't the only place you can get the show.
Go to the website.
It's only an aggregator.
You know what? Nick Simon texted me and told me he whipped out his Zune to download us from the Zune network this week. So apparently the Zune network is still a thing. I didn't know that.
There you go.
We'll see you this weekend, guys. Thanks again for your calls and your MP3s. Nobody loves you more than us. Not your parents.
Jesus. Jesus loves you.
Not Jesus.
More than we do.
Not Barack Obama.
It's a family.
Nobody.
Probably not Barack Obama. That's not a political statement. He just doesn't know you like we do.
Yeah. That's all it is. If he did, he'd love you guys too.